Hey PTs, are you maxed out on hours? You tired of endless patient notes? Still chipping away at those student loans? PTLive.me is an on-demand patient clinic hub helping licensed PTs get ahead of the rat race. Stay tuned for more or check out PTLive.me.
The PT Pintcast is powered by International Service Learning. For over 22 years, International Service Learning has been leading volunteers to 12 different countries to provide physical therapy services for those in need. They believe in the power of the individual that chooses to serve and make a difference in the lives of others. They have opportunities in Costa Rica, Belize, Mexico, the Dominican Republic, and many more locations around the globe. For more information about volunteering, visit islonline.org.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs. In a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. She attended North Carolina for undergrad and then went across the border. Not like that. University of South Carolina, Gamecock for PT school. She quickly learned that her visions of physical therapy could only be achieved if she took matters into her own hands. Is that a manual therapy reference? I don't know. Let's find out. Opening her own clinic was the scariest, best thing that happened to her. Life is too short not to be doing what you love day in and day out. On the PT Pintcast right now, Dr. Karen Bonney. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we are at a live event. I don't know if people can tell. The riffraff in the bar right now. We're at O'Sullivan's in Clarendon, Virginia. And they say the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. First question is always the hardest. What are we drinking?
Blue Moon. And I'm a little embarrassed by it.
Why?
I like to be a little more unique than that.
But it's a good beer.
It was a solid choice.
I'm going, I had a half and half, so it's a Harp and a Guinness. We're at O'Sullivan's. It felt sacrilegious not to do an Irish combination like that.
Right? You did it right. I went boring.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll get some shots in you at the end. So we're doing another PT Pub Night event, and we want to thank the guys from PT Pub Night for just doing what they do, which is essentially just connect a bunch of people who have PT in common and alcohol.
Yes.
So you can follow those guys on Twitter at PT Pub Night. I want to thank everybody who have who've been following us on Twitter at PT Pintcast. That is huge. Also, we got a Facebook page. We don't take any selfies. We don't do any of that. So you can find us on Facebook, also Instagram, PT Pintcast. So now that we got all the hard stuff out of the way, you opened up your own practice.
I did.
Out of school. A lot of discussion on Twitter about that. Should people do it? How long after school did you do it? And what was the moment when you said, you know what? If I want to do what I want to do, I got to do it my way.
So I was at a really awesome clinic for about 3 years, just immediately outside of PT school.
And where was that?
It was at National Rehab Hospital.
Oh, NRH, yeah.
NRH.
Yeah.
Such a wonderful place to get experience. Like, hands down, the best advice that was given to me right out of grad school is that you're going to learn everything in the textbook. That's half the battle.
Right.
Now you need experience, and you need to have mentors, and you need to have other people's views of how to treat. And so I got that at NRH, and it was amazing. And then year, like, 2.5, that little thing in the back of my head was like, I don't know. I think I need something more. And I knew that I wanted to work with a lot of higher-level athletes, and I wasn't getting as much as I really deep down wanted.
What were you doing at NRH? What kind of?
I was outpatient physical therapy.
Okay.
I was their total joint specialist at a couple of the clinics, so I saw a lot of post-op, total knees, total hips. I did see a lot of athletes when I transitioned to one of their other locations, but I still wanted more. And I kind of toyed with, I used to be a personal trainer as well during grad school and during college. And I was like, maybe that's the part of me that's missing. I went part-time with physical therapy and did part-time with personal training, got back into it. I started up with Balance Gym and loved their community so much. It was kind of in this limbo of like 6 to 8 months where I was just trying to figure out what I really wanted to do. And then all of a sudden it clicked where I realized if I want to do physical therapy the way that I want to do it, I'm going to have to take it into my hands.
Right.
And so I approached Balance Gym and they wanted a PT in-house.
This is a gym in DC.
Okay. They said yes, they're on board, and I took the steps needed, and I will have my 2-year anniversary in January.
Oh, good for you. How long after school did you start at NRH? Right out of school?
Exactly, yeah.
So essentially,
right up.
So you said two and a half years is when you said, there's something missing. I'm not sure what it is. Yeah. I think it's this personal training angle.
Yep.
Did the personal training, did that thing that was missing, what, was it higher end athletes? Was it you wanted to be more exercise based, or what was it?
It was a little bit of both. You said it exactly. Like I wanted athletes that, I feel like I can't say this out loud.
You can say it.
I wanted athletes that actually wanted to be athletic.
Okay. But look, I mean, you're shying away from the mic. You didn't want to say it like that.
Right.
Some people need PT in an acute environment. They're acute PT. And some people need inpatient. Some people need outpatient. And you were kind of looking beyond outpatient is what you were looking for.
Right.
And that's a patient population.
Right.
I mean, I think sometimes we look at if you can go from sit to stand and supine to sit and clear all those hurdles, maybe you don't need PT. But you need PT across a lifespan. Why not across the athletic span? So that's what you were kind of looking for. You wanted higher end.
Exactly.
All right. You could say high performance athletes. We just interviewed a couple weeks ago. We interviewed Judy Cito, the Kobe Bryant's PT, the LA Lakers PT. She likes that patient population.
Amazing.
And that's what she's looking to do. So you were missing that kind of element, and you got that by going out on your own.
Right.
So now, are you in a gym facility?
I am.
Okay. So when I looked at your website, it kind of looked like you were standalone, maybe like concierge PT. I didn't know.
A little bit of both. I am 100% that in terms of my services and how I do billing and all that good stuff in terms of concierge. But I am physically, my space is a closed off room inside of a personal training studio inside a Balance Gym.
That's cool. And you can find out more information at KarenBonnie.com, and you can follow her online at Bonnie Karen. We're confusing people because we're switching at Bonnie Karen on Twitter.
I know. I don't
Twitter.
Know why I went back.
That's got to be a cool way to find those exact patients that you want, because if they're in a gym, they're bought in to being a little more athletic, a little more shape. And then if they have those aches and pains, hey, look right across the floor.
Exactly.
Karen's right over there.
Exactly.
Is that the way part of PT should be? Is I think a lot of times people, including my own parents, just think that, well, you need PT after a joint replacement or when something really happens, like a really bad happens, like a car accident. But that's essentially what you're saying, is it's across the athletic span.
It is. And I think it's important to understand, piggybacking off of what you're talking about the way PT should be, right?
Right.
Physical therapy, like most people think, is post-rehab, post-injury, post-pain. It doesn't have to be. And I also want to kind of bridge that gap between rehab and just training and maintenance and preventative, like all of that can be assisted by a physical therapist. All of that can be assisted by a number of different medical practitioners. And so I always try to encourage all human beings need to understand what options are out there to better their performance, to better their daily tasks, you know, at whatever level that is, if it's an athlete or if it's just a human being going to and from work.
Yeah, I don't want to name drop or anything, but we had Shirley Sarman on the show a couple of weeks ago, and that's essentially what she's saying. She said a person should never be discharged from physical therapy.
Never.
They should check in, much like your general practitioner. A guy named Steve Tepper is right on that train of thought too, saying your physical therapist, you should check in even if you're not necessarily in crippling pain.
Yep.
Let us help you before you think you need us.
Yep. I always do hashtag body maintenance, because literally you take your car in for maintenance.
Yeah.
It may not have lights going off in the car, but you still take it in because you know it's due time to double check and make sure things are good.
Right. So since you're essentially on your own, you have space within the gym, but you're your own practice.
Yeah.
By yourself? I mean, is there anybody else who helps you? No other employees?
All me.
Wow, when you call in sick, the whole place shuts down, huh?
Yep.
Wow, gutsy.
I'm on vacation. Nobody's making money.
So how do you explain, because this conversation came up on Twitter a while ago, how do you explain to someone if they're going to get physical therapy through you? Some people use the term cash-based. Some people don't like to use the word cash because, like, oh, it sounds dirty.
Right.
It shouldn't.
Never.
But
cash,
you're just
amazing.
You're trying to explain you can use insurance.
Yep.
But you don't have to use insurance.
Right. I always like to ask people, okay, do you value good care? Is getting the quickest, most effective outcome important to you? Do you want to, like, get in, be fixed, and move on? Right? I think most of us would probably say yes to that.
Absolutely.
I think some people don't realize that that is an option. And so you could go an insurance route and maybe have subpar care and maybe see someone. And this goes across all medical professions. This is across non-medical professions. You can go and get subpar care and be going for 2 times a week for 6 to 8 weeks and get nowhere. Or you could go see someone one or two times, pay out of pocket, but you spend less. Less time, less effort, less money.
Do the people that you see, because they might be paying cash, but they can also submit to their insurance,
absolutely,
too. That's on them.
That's on them.
Because you're just you. And
I'm just me.
You only have 24 hours in a day. You can't be doing that. You see people who are, you know, essentially paying out of pocket, paying cash.
Yep.
Are they're more invested. They've got to be more invested. And they've got to be wanting to get better faster. And they're going to do what you say because they're paying for it.
Yep. And can I tell you, truth be told, the clientele that I have now, and it could be a number of different reasons why, but they are the happiest human beings ever. Because truthfully, I mean, they're invested and they're going to listen and they're going to do their stuff and they're going to be compliant. And I haven't had, I described it to a good friend of mine. She was asking me, do you ever have like really annoying patients or really frustrating scenarios? And I legitimately had to think about all the people I deal with, and I'm like, not really. Like, they're all pretty amazing. And I don't know if that's because they are invested and their attitudes are different. I don't know.
I mean, if you're seeking out a physical therapist and you're willing to pay out of pocket, your ears are probably a little bit open. You know, I mean, all right, look, so PT's my second career. Mom and Dad helped me a lot with the undergrad degree.
Right.
But now that I was going back for my prereqs and I was paying for that by myself, and I'm going for my degree in PT, and I'm going to be paying for that myself for the rest of my life, my ears and my eyes are a little more open.
Yeah.
I'm saying, oh, I'm paying a lot of money to be here today, even though tomorrow I'll be in peds and I'll be hungover. I'm going to be paying attention tomorrow because I'm paying for it.
Right.
So is that kind of a similarity?
Right.
I'm paying, so whatever, you know, Karen says, I should probably be doing because I'm paying for it.
It's so true.
We got to go pay some student loans. We'll be right back. Are you ready? It's time for the PT Final Exam Pop Quiz. Keeping you on your game before and after the NPTE. Here's today's question.
According to the FSBPT content outline, which area is most heavily represented on the NPT?
We'll be right back with the answer of today's PT Final Exam Pop Quiz.
Humanity's greatest advances are not in its discoveries, but in how those discoveries are applied to reduce inequity.
Doing what's never been done before is intellectually seductive.
We all need to contribute. Me, you, we. It is our duty.
With international service learning, travel to a new part of the world. Learn the skills to help others and serve those in need. Visit ISLonline.org for more.
The PT Pinecast is powered by PTLive.me. PT Live wants you to know you love ortho, but love doesn't always pay the rent. And let's face it, home health is, well, home health. Join PT Live's growing team of on-demand physical therapists working from anywhere, anytime, with anyone. Screen patients, help clinics nationwide, and next date night you can say, have the ribeye, honey. PTLive.me. We'll take it from here.
Okay, here's today's PT Final Exam Pop Quiz one more time.
Which area is most heavily represented on the NPT?
And the answer to the PT Final Exam Pop Quiz is...
The content area that is most heavily represented on the FSBPT's content outline is the musculoskeletal interventions section with 21 questions.
Thanks for playing along at home, boys and girls. Remember, for your NPTE test prep, all you need is the PT Final Exam. Find them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. This is the PT Pintcast.
What's a typical patient? I mean, I hate saying stuff like that because it's right down the middle. But maybe say, what are some typical patients? Who are you seeing coming to you? Are they people that stumble across you because they're in the gym and they're trying to get better? You know, they're just trying to get better in shape, and maybe they want to see some results faster. They figure, why not see a PT?
Definitely wouldn't say that.
Okay. So what is it?
Not the typical clientele. If I had to categorize like body parts, I think in this state, which I sometimes look back at where I was before and what I'm not seeing, right now I see a lot of acute shoulders and acute backs. I definitely didn't have that as frequently. And that's one of the most pleasant surprises about being in a gym and being in that setting. In a non-gym setting with an insurance scenario and prescriptions and all that good stuff, sometimes you see someone that was maybe 5 weeks out of some kind of acute something.
Right.
I never, quote unquote, had acute symptoms for most of my patients back at the old clinic. I see people like the day of. They're calling me and they're like, hey, I just had this amazing workout. My shoulder's going crazy now. Can I come in? Do you have something? I'm like, yeah.
Is that because of literally the proximity of you being in the gym?
In-house and available. And people love that.
Yeah.
And I love it because I get to experience these different scenarios and then these fast-paced turnarounds. People come in the day they get injured, the next day they get, you know, the day after, and they don't have to see me for a long time.
Right.
Most of the time it's one and done and they're on their way.
Right. I hear more and more about physical therapists doing exactly what you're doing, either setting up a clinic or getting an office within a gym, because that's where the people, I shouldn't say that that's where the people are, that's where a lot of people are.
Right.
In terms of going to get a musculoskeletal injury.
Right.
Like my roommate's dad has had clinics on and off for the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years, and he's like, why not? Because you have the equipment being paid for by somebody else.
Right.
And you've got a bunch of people walking around who have a potential for being injured.
Right.
And maybe you can prevent that, which is what Shirley Sarman and Steve Tepper are kind of on that bandwagon of, let's get them before they're chronically injured. Let's show them how to do it before they get hurt.
I know. That's what I love.
Since
and
starting,
I want people to know that.
Yeah. Since starting PT school, I walked through a gym and I'm like, am I supposed to be that guy who tells you you're doing it wrong? Because no one wants to be that douchebag.
That's a hard role. I do that walking down the street.
Really?
I'm like, do I really want to tell that person about their gait analysis right now? I don't know. No.
See a lot of things wrong here. I don't want to be a douchebag, but
I could fix this, this, and this.
Right.
Let's make you better.
Yeah. You wanted to talk about treatment options.
So what I also like to encourage people to understand is not only do you have options for picking good quality care, insurance versus non-insurance, and don't get me wrong, there are amazing PTs who work for companies who take insurance. Definitely not saying there are not those humans, but understanding what else is out there, because every time you get an injury, we are going to get injuries, right? We're
going to
live long lives, you're going to get injured. So every time you get an injury, the solution is not always the same. And so knowing maybe a massage therapist, a good bodywork maintenance human is going to fix you. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe knowing that there's a technique called dry needling, and that may fix you. Maybe it's acupuncture that's going to fix you and not dry needling. Maybe it's certain manual techniques or scraping or Graston or active release. Like there are so many techniques. And it's not always end all be all one thing. So have a plethora of people that you could go to. If you tried one and that's not what fixed you this time, go try somebody else.
You talked about, you know, your background in personal training before you came to PT school.
Yep.
What are some classes or what are some things that you do after you graduate? Is there any continuing education stuff that you could recommend or you think is good or what?
So many. I'm on this Kineticore like thing right now.
All right.
Because I recently got all my certifications with dry needling and I love it because they are closely connected to functional movement screen, SFMA. Like, I'm a huge proponent of, and this is just me, not every PT has to go this route, but I think the movement aspect of our treatment is huge. The movement aspect of why people are getting injured is huge.
That's what we're supposed to be, right? Movement experts, what Shirley said.
Right? I truthfully feel that you have to want to go that route. I'm not going to tell every physical therapy student that they need to go that route because maybe they don't believe in it, and that's not meant for them. They'll do what they want to do and where they feel led to go. I'm big into movement, and I wanted to pursue that. So
you took the Kineticore functional movement, dry needling. What else have you taken? SFMA, FMS?
Yes, all of the above. I'm level 1, level 2, certified in dry needling and Kineticore. I'm going to take their advanced course in April. It's a great group of people.
How long after graduating, this is a completely selfish question because I'm graduating in like 8 months. How long after graduating should you think about that? About taking a course, because right now, I'm a little coursed out. I've been taking courses for 3 years.
Right.
I want to go learn what I don't know and figure out what I need to know, but how long should I wait? Or shouldn't I? I mean, I've asked this exact question to multiple, and I get a bunch of different answers. I just want to see what Karen thinks.
So yeah, my honest answer would be...
That's the only answer I freaking want.
Okay, good.
The honest answer.
Don't even worry about when. Like, when is the right time? Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Get out there and start getting experience. And at some point, you will probably have it click in your head where you're like, I want more.
Of this.
I want to know more. Yeah, I want to know more of this topic or this technique.
So your advice is graduate and get a freaking job, which is exactly what my mom and my dad were saying.
Get a
damn job, Jimmy.
And by get a damn job, I mean get experience.
Right.
Because you need it.
Right.
You're going to go out of there graduating smarty pants in textbook world.
Right.
And that's how I was. And then I quickly learned that that is not all of it.
Well, you brought up the guys from Kineticore. And one of the guys I had met before I even started the podcast was Nelson Min from, he also works for Kineticore.
Hi, Nelson.
Bodies in Motion in Reston, Ashburn. And that's what he says. He said, PT school gives you the fundamentals.
Yep.
So pay attention to everything you learn. Yep. It'll come back. You don't think it when you're in class. I'm in classes right now, and I'm like, I'm never gonna need to know this.
I know.
And then 6, 8, 10, 12 months later, I'm like, oh, that
right?
I was supposed to remember that. Oh yeah, no, it's in there somewhere.
Keep all your books and all your notes.
Yeah.
Just keep them.
Biggest surprise thing you didn't think about that comes up the most often.
Are you ready for this?
Lay it on me.
The most frustrating part of opening up my own business is doing things like making Word documents. Are you kidding me right now?
What do you
now?
Mean? But what are you making
like,
them for?
I don't know how to... I haven't done admin. Like, what's admin? And then all of a sudden, I have to make forms and like...
So making your forms and your templates and all that.
That's the hardest part.
It's
yeah.
The details.
Do you know how many times I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. I should hire someone to do this. But.
A feature on the show called Parting Shots. So each episode is a pint. And before we're done, we do shots. So before we leave this bar, we're going to do shots.
Nice.
Before we're done with this interview, we're going to do parting shots.
Okay.
So since I'm a student and I'm selfishly able to talk to PTs from across the country and across the world,
right.
I just want advice for myself.
Yeah.
So if you were to give advice to yourself, the version of you in school, what's some words of wisdom, a clinical pearl you would give to yourself?
Understanding that there isn't always the perfect answer to any situation. Like, there's a lot of guidelines and a lot of things that can guide you to figuring it out, but you're not going to know everything.
Right.
Even 5 years out, even 20 years out, I'm sure PTs are saying the same thing. Like, and I think that's a case in point for any profession.
It makes me feel better because I'm not good at everything.
Good.
And I'm not sure I ever will be.
I'm not either. I can't make forms.
But as a student, it makes us feel nervous because, you know, when we're in neuro or ortho or acute and our professor's in front of the room, we're like, man, she knows everything about this. Am I going to know everything about this? So to hear, you know, and I've had similar responses on other episodes, and it makes me feel a little bit better. I'm still nervous as hell to graduate. I don't want to be in class anymore.
I think it's good to be nervous. You don't want to be doing anything that you're not nervous about.
All right, good.
Like, it's not worth doing.
Well, and I am set.
You are set.
Go. Well, Karen, we're going to do some shots at the bar before we get out of this PT pub
all
night.
Right.
I appreciate you coming fresh from work because
yeah.
You are a one-man band.
Yeah.
And Dr. Karen Bonney, thanks for being on the PT Pintcast.
Thank you for having me.
Follow us on Twitter at PT Pintcast and online at ptpintcast.com. It's like TMZ, except with way more important information. And no Miley Cyrus. Okay, it's not like TMZ at all. The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.